but it's always time to go exploring. Welcome to Outdoor Pursuits with yours truly, Jade Quinn McDonald. We are recording from UBC campus today, live in studio. I have a guest with me, Kai Smart. Kai, I've known you for a long time. Let's be real here. Kai recently took over the Ski and Board Club. I guess it's been about 8 months now. March-ish. And yeah, this is one of the biggest clubs at UBC. I think AMS has recognized you guys multiple times for all the stuff you're doing in the community. It's really great. Last year, they started a rental program to make skiing more accessible, because we all know how expensive skiing is, even though those mountains are always staring at you in the face. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, welcome.
Thank you for having me.
Do you want to tell us a little bit about what you're studying and how you first got involved with the Ski and Board Club?
Yeah, so I'm studying finance at UBC, and it was a pretty obvious connection to get involved with the Ski and Board Club. I've known about it, like, in my final years of high school. It has quite the reputation in the Sea to Sky area. Mm-hmm. So right when I got on campus, I just reached out and started off as the sponsorship rep for a couple of years.
Cool. And, yeah, what was your role? Like, what kind of jobs were you doing as sponsorship rep?
It was all about just securing sponsors across all sorts of domains of the club's activities. Like, a lot of beer sponsors is a big part of the club. And then also working with different resorts, ski shops, brands like Arc'teryx, Peak Performance.
Cool. Because you guys, there's a discount that you can get for the Icon Pass through the Ski and Board Club, is that right?
Yeah.
How long has that been going on?
About 3 years now.
Okay, nice. So do you feel like you've witnessed a kind of uptick in the amount of people that are interested in ski and board from when you first got here?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, the numbers have grown a bit each year. Mm-hmm. We naturally had a slump after COVID, but then came back pretty quick. Everyone was eager to have a social life and get outside again.
No doubt. Yeah. Were you surprised that the role of presidency came your way eventually?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, it was always something I was, like, gunning for. And, you know, I did my time on exec for a couple of years and felt, you know, ready to take on a bigger role. So happy everyone else supported me on that. And,
cool.
And it, yeah, it feels good.
That's great. Besides kind of a more public affiliation with the club, what do you feel like the new role is bringing you?
Yeah, I think if anything, this role is more like behind closed doors. Sort of like a managerial type role.
Okay, yeah.
You know, handling every aspect of the club. Just a wider scope of the work, you know, working on all the events, parties, ski trips, sponsorships, rail jams, kind of dipping my toes everywhere. And then kind of it's turned into like more of a full-time job sort of thing.
Yeah, I bet. Got to get good at delegating.
Yeah, for
sure.
Since you're
still a full-time student.
Yeah.
Student athlete.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so this is a sports club, right? Like, Ski and Board Club, what qualifies you to be the president? Are you a skier, Kai?
I am a skier.
Are you a skier?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
When did you start skiing?
I started skiing when I was 3 years old.
Holy. Okay. Nice. Could you walk yet?
I think so. My parents are big skiers, so they they threw me into it, and I grew up in Whistler, so it's kind of natural.
Your dad,
mm-hmm.
John Smart, I was just looking him up on the internet as you walked in here. Hall of Famer, the Canadian Ski Hall of Fame. Moguls was his specialty.
Yeah.
Is that right? Were you ever interested in a different type of skiing than freestyle, or was it always just freestyle for you?
Always freestyle.
Yeah.
I did moguls for a while. My mom was also like an Olympic skier, and she was in ballet skiing, which is died now, but was also freestyle discipline. So, I was in that world, so wanted to stay in it.
Cool. Yeah, and your parents own Momentum Ski Camps, is that right?
Yeah.
So at one point, I was reading that it was one of the biggest summer ski camps in all of Canada. I wouldn't be surprised if it still is.
Yeah.
Did you take or instruct at Momentum?
The
summer ski camps.
Yeah, as a kid, I would be a camper in the camps and go up and work to ski quite often. And then my last year up there, I was coaching more casually because the models that, like, they bring in pro skiers, the best, like, Olympic athletes to coach. That was more of, like, a sub when they needed it.
Gotcha. What do you feel like you gained from your time at Momentum?
A lot of just kind of pure athletic or, like, ski development, I guess. It's quite the training ground. You know, people from all around the world come there every summer just for the facilities. It's the quickest way to progress in slopestyle skiing or mogul skiing.
Is just that full year kind of thing, or what specifically?
It's in the summer, so it runs from June through July.
Right.
And it's a T-bar park and mogul course, so you just get a lot of volume, and the features and mogul course is set up quite well, and then you're around all these other pro skiers, so the energy gets you motivated to progress.
Totally. And is that on the Blackcomb Glacier? Where does that get set up?
Yeah, on the Showcase T-bar, right before you, like, dip into the backcountry there.
Cool. And when's the last time you took part in one of the camps?
2 years ago. Okay. I was gone for the last year, so I missed it.
Cool. Do you feel like summer skiing on that glacier is going to be around forever? This is sort of just, like, you know, sub-question of the main conversation here.
I mean, long-term,
Yeah.
who knows? I think at least, like, until I'm too old to ski, it could work for sure. There's a lot of work being done by Vail to keep it running, like installing snowmaking. They tarp the glacier every year. And then also the way the camp runs is kind of preserving the glacier on its own because they're feeding a bunch of snow on top of the glacier, which sort of insulates it.
I didn't know that.
Mm-hmm.
There you go. Thinking, like, long term, you know, do you see yourself going back and, like, taking over the family business as a Momentum coach at some point?
Potentially. My parents would love my brother or I to do that. I think short term I want to kind of do my own thing and see where I go with that. But if they're over it, I would hate to see the camp and community they built around it die, so I would definitely hop in.
Cool. Okay, so you've referenced being away a couple times. Where were you this time last year?
This time last year I was in Amsterdam for exchange.
Was that with Go Global?
Yeah.
Yeah, nice. Why Amsterdam?
Kind of a convoluted story. I had some other choices and ended up getting Copenhagen and then deciding I didn't want to go to Copenhagen. So I asked what cities were left and it was Amsterdam and some random German town. So I ended up there randomly, but my mom's Dutch. So
there you go.
It was good to go back to the home ground.
Yeah. And was that specific to the Sauder Finance program?
I went through the business program, but I'm pretty sure any faculty that qualifies for exchange can go there.
Cool. So you were in that from September to December.
Mm-hmm.
And then what happened?
And then I was really liking the Euro life.
Yep.
So I switched all my winter courses at UBC to just online electives and then moved to Innsbruck, Austria for the ski season there.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, had a little taste of the Euro ski life and really enjoyed it.
That's great. Can you talk about the ski movie publicly? Or is that a secret?
Yeah.
Okay. Sure. So you carried on in your adventure.
Mm-hmm.
And Was Europe the beginning of filming the ski movie, or had you already filmed parts in North America?
It was all filmed in Kazakhstan.
Okay.
So in October, November,
yeah,
found the crew of other people who were interested in going to Central Asia to work on a project and go explore that area, and we landed on Kazakhstan, and then, yeah, that started in April. And what we did was a two-week traverse through some of the remote mountains along the border of Kyrgyzstan and Kazakhstan. It was, 14 days base camping along the way, skiing whatever lines we could, and then also interviewing and sharing the stories of these remote scientists that are working and living out there, such as glaciologists, astrophysicists, and seismologists.
Wow. So you guys are just trekking through their backyard kind of at this point.
Yeah.
How did you land on Kazakhstan and this little subplot that you guys ended up integrating?
A while of just lurking Google Earth and finding a spot with the terrain that appealed to us. Mm-hmm. And then another guy on the team, Tyndall Wells, found this route that just made like a perfect traverse loop and had the terrain there. And then we kept digging in and found these old Soviet-era research bases.
Wow.
And then the whole film kind of came together. It started as just, I want to go ski in Central Asia, and then the film was a secondary thing to make it happen. But
okay. And who is making this happen? Is this Armada? Who's sponsoring the project?
We have, three main sponsors. Gorilla Energy,
nice.
It's a Russian energy drink
Yaha.
Company, and Hagloff's Swedish outerwear brand, and Peak Performance as well.
Nice.
But it was mostly all just self-funded.
Cool.
Like, all of us on the crew are quite quite in debt from the trip, but it was something.
Yeah, who's the crew?
So the crew is Morgan Tien, who also is UBC ski and board alumni, Tyndall Wells from Oregon, Nick Succi, who I grew up with skiing, he's from Revelstoke, and Shay Townley, also from Revelstoke, and Daria Ponomaryova, who is this Kazakh ski girl who we found on Instagram and just came in very clutch and being a friend and making it all happen logistically for us.
Wow. And who came up with the idea to interview along the way?
Mostly Morgan Tien, I would say. It kind of came quite naturally that we'd be going through these stations and it'd be a little weird to just brush over that and not explore what's going on there. And I think we're all pretty interested in seeing their stories and what it's all about.
Yeah. So was the terrain you guys were moving through heavily glaciated? Was it like you guys were roped up all the time, some of the time?
Yeah. Yeah. Lots of pretty much all glacier for the traverse part. Quite a bit of roping up. Had to do some ice climbing on some of the lines that we thought was snow, and it was just a wall of ice.
That's gnarly.
So it kind of depended, but yeah, the terrain was definitely intense, quite a complicated snowpack. The weather was all over the place, so it was tested all of our skills in decision-making for sure.
That's cool, yeah. How did you, you guys are all of similar ability, I assume.
Mm-hmm.
How did you go about kind of making those safety calls? Was it like, okay, we have like checkpoints along the way, we'll see how we're going, or is it just like push on until we can't no more?
Yeah, a lot of planning. It's difficult to plan because there's no avalanche forecasting or like search and rescue or anything like that over there. So it's kind of on us to make sure we're dialed in our first aid and snow science.
Mm-hmm.
And then we were able to talk to a glaciologist and snow scientist who we had our friend translate for us, and he gave a lot of good insights into the snowpack. And then on the trip was just digging lots of pits, making observations, and then thankfully nothing went wrong. But yeah, we were ready to, you know, do a full like 3-day evac if needed.
Holy, yeah. What kind of experience was in the group first aid wise?
Wilderness first aid and wilderness first responder.
Nice. Yeah. That's good stuff. What stage are you guys at in the movie making process now?
We are 2 weeks out from our first premiere. We just sent it to color and sound design.
Wow.
And to our composer who's working on the score. And yeah, we have a small premiere with Peak Performance at the end of October, and then premieres kind of all around the world after that.
Is Ski and Board going to host any type of premiere?
Potentially, yeah. I mean, cool. we're working on a movie contest that'll come up in January where we'll bring all the students together to kind of make films. Maybe I'll show it there, or probably on a different occasion where we just get everyone together to watch some ski movies and maybe just shamelessly plug my films.
I mean, come on, gotta do it. What was the ski community like in Kazakhstan?
A lot stronger than we anticipated.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Very small, but very passionate group who are quite dialed in what they do. The backcountry scene particularly is very small. Like, we met maybe five or six people, which seemed to be the main active core of it. But then there's also a ski resort there with that's super nice and modern that blew us away. We weren't expecting that, with a really nice park, you know, like crazy. It was too late in the season to really explore the resort terrain, but in the winter, I think it would be an amazing resort.
Is it a place you plan to revisit?
Yeah, potentially I'll be back there in November for the premiere. Right. But I would love to go back and spend more time. Just that whole region, even south into Kyrgyzstan, has a lot of potential, for sure. Wow.
What's the food like?
Food is interesting.
Yeah.
Just a lot of plov.
Okay.
Just like rice dish.
Yeah.
A lot of horse meat.
Okay.
That's their staple there. And yeah, just bread. Lots of bread. And or at least that's what I was eating because I was on the cheap budget. I'm sure there's more extravagant meals out there. But yeah, a lot of just rice, bread, and meat.
Cool. So this sounds like quite the endeavor, big traverse. What kind of traverse stuff have you done before that you felt like kind of prepares you for this?
It's a funny question because I'd never done a traverse before.
Okay, cool.
I've spent a lot of time in the backcountry
and
lots of camping, snow camping, and I felt I wasn't too threatened by the prospect of just piecing it all together.
Mm-hmm.
But I think 3 out of 5 of us had never done a traverse before.
Wow.
And Nick, who was on the trip, is just a diehard sled skier, and he never does much like human powered.
Mm-hmm.
So there was definitely maybe an amateur level to our whole project, but it wasn't like we were outside of the scope of what we could do.
Right. Yeah. Have you guys done like glacier rescue courses and things like that, or learned from friends and family?
Yeah, a couple have done formal glacier rescue courses, and then for myself, just friends and family and like self-practice.
Arguably the best way.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, cool. Well, yeah, the ski and board club typically tends to resort ski. That's right?
Yeah.
Do you guys see stepping into backcountry skiing at all, or are you going to leave that to the VOC?
I think we'll leave that to the VOC. Yeah. It's a lot of liability to take on, and huge respect to VOC for making all that happen. But I think for us, we'll stay in resort. A lot of people on exec and in the club are backcountry skiers as well, so organize like internal trips. But
yeah, totally.
I think just having an open sign up and then bringing people into the backcountry without knowing them and having that team rapport is something I personally just might not want to take on, but potentially in the future, if we have someone keen and ready to organize that.
Do you get much interest? Do you get like people asking about it, or mostly they know the deal?
Yeah, most people ask about it who are into backcountry, and then we just feed them to VOC.
The machine.
Or also on our ski trips, we tend to always go touring. So people who bring their gear, then we'll just go together a little more informally.
Osmosis.
Yeah, exactly.
That makes sense, totally. Cool. Well, we're getting up close to halfway here. And Kai, you've given me a song.
Yeah.
Is there anything you want to say about this song before I play it?
Yeah, it's an interesting traditional Kazakh and Kyrgyz nomadic song. Yeah. And it's one of the songs we'll be using in the film. So I thought I'd, you know, share it to the people, spice it up with a little different of genres.
I like it. Yeah. Okay. So this is Running Horses.
Шабысай, тай бұрылдың шабысай, көкейімнен кетпейді-ай, қалқатайдың ай дауысай. Тай бұрылдың шабысай, сай күліптің дабысай, көкейімнен кетпейді-ай, қалқатайдың ай дауысай. Көтердеймін халәурім ай, осы бүгін көңіліңді көтермесең ақыл, ойнағаның күлгенің бекердеймін халәурім ай, тай бұрылдың шабысай, сай күліптің табысай, көкейімнен кетпейді ай, қалқатайдың ай дауысай. Күліптің шабысай, тай бұрылдың табысай, көкейімнен кетпейді-ай, қалқатайдың ай дауысай. Көкейімнен кетпейді-ай, қалқатайдың ай дауысай.
Okay, let's see here. Blend equal parts science and stories. Add a few shakes of music and soundscape, and wrap it all up in a big question. How can we see this more than human world in a new light and take part in shaping a healthy Anthropocene? Catch Future Ecologies every Sunday at 8 a.m. on CITR.
What a lovely Vancouver summer night. I can't wait to sit by myself at the beach and look at my phone. Huh? What's that?
Man, what are you doing? Get over here and come jam.
Wow, what a lovely assortment of musicians. What are you guys doing?
This is E-Studio. We come together and build connections over music. No musical experience needed. Just come socialize and build your confidence playing music if that's your thing.
Wow, this is so awesome. Now I have a real-life connections with Vancouver's international community of musicians and creatives. Thank you, E-Studio. E-Studio is an international jam group where we celebrate music from all around the world and play together. Follow us on Instagram at estudio.cafe. estudio.cafe.
Royal Otis, live in concert, coming to the PNE Forum in Vancouver on October 22nd. Fresh off the heels of their debut album, Prats in Pain, and the viral cover of Murder on the Dance Floor for Triple J's Like a Virgin, Boy, Don't miss the Australian duo on their biggest tour yet, Royal Otis, Glory to Glory Fall Tour. Tickets are on sale now at ticketleader.ca. TicketLeader.ca.
Hi there. You're listening to CITR 101.9 FM, broadcasting from UBC Vancouver campus located on the unceded ancestral and traditional lands of the Hunkaminim-speaking Musqueam people. We honor the ancestral and ongoing care for this land by the host nations. Media practices are often rooted in white gaze, and we recognize that it is our responsibility to shift our approach and move towards radical empathy. While we broadcast from UBC Vancouver campus, our listenership extends to the unceded lands of the Musqueam, Squamish, and Tsleil-Waututh nations and beyond. We encourage you to check out native-land.ca, that is native-land.ca, to learn more about whose land and territory you live and work on or may be visiting. Thank you.
Welcome back. You're listening to Outdoor Pursuits on CITR 101.9 FM with Jade and Kai. We just finished discussing what we're going to discuss for the next few minutes. And I'll just open it up with the election process. How do you do it? How do you elect people? What are you looking for in your candidates?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Great question.
Yeah.
Well, we do our elections a little more obscurely than the standard club model.
Yeah.
It's based on stunts.
Mm-hmm.
So what that is anyone, any aspiring executive or existing executive looking to return the next year has to perform a stunt.
Okay.
At a house party in front of hundreds of people.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
That seems like you're really trying to attract a certain type of person. Someone who, you know, can be safe while doing extreme things.
Mm-hmm.
Is that the number one trait you're looking for in a person? What do you, like, from this stunt, when you guys all go into the room and discuss the people,
mm-hmm.
what do you talk about?
Yeah, so the stunts vary widely.
Yeah.
It could be whatever you want.
Mm-hmm.
We love creativity.
Yep.
Sometimes it's very heinous,
mm-hmm.
ingesting
yep.
some mixture of things mm-hmm. and alcohol,
mm-hmm.
or other times someone's lit themselves on fire and
yep.
is longboarding down a hill.
Okay.
With skis on.
Yeah.
So have quite the mixture. But I guess what we're looking for is, I don't know, it this model just attracts kind of maybe more eager,
mm-hmm.
rambunctious,
yeah.
maybe that's,
yeah, sure.
I guess that works,
yeah.
But not all the time. You know, I don't think our full exec team is a rambunctious crowd.
Right.
We have quite the mixed bag,
mm-hmm.
but, you know, we're not looking for, you know, dialed election candidates who are
yeah.
going to write a nice campaign.
Yeah.
The Ski and Board Club's all about fostering community and then also sending it on the hill, and
yeah.
just the ski culture in general tends to be focused on, you know, being a little rowdy, and this stunt process historically has worked quite well in attracting that demographic.
Yeah, you know, I feel like I can attest to that. It's pretty entertaining to watch too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Have you guys ever had any pushback from any administrative bodies or anything about this?
Not that I know of.
Nice.
In the last 5 years, but
that's a win.
I'm sure at some point we have certain bans.
Okay.
Like no inverts.
Okay.
And no branding. So
okay.
there's been, and that's just a result of some, it went wrong.
Right. Inverts like handstands and things like that, or what, or flips? Or
yeah, more flips.
Like, okay, yeah, mm-hmm. yeah.
Because when drinking tends to be involved beforehand,
yeah.
so it can get a little out of
right.
hand.
And are stunts ever designed for specific roles? Like, is it like, ooh, I'm going to be the photographer, so I'm going to like eat this disposable camera or something?
It's like, not really.
You haven't seen that?
I think that would be a great idea.
I don't know, just, you know,
you're hitting the creativity marks.
Oh, jeez. Yeah.
But it tends to just be some sort of crowd-pleasing stunt.
Totally. If you're at liberty to say, what stunt have you seen in all of the elections that you've been like, whoa, that one was gnarly?
I won't say a lot of them.
Yeah.
Just to censor it. You just,
know.
If you're interested in seeing some heinous stuff or interesting stuff come through. But
yeah.
We had a great one at the recent elections. Mm-hmm. Our new first-year rep, Isaac Friesen, set up a slip and slide mm-hmm. off a very steep roof to a 20-foot drop
okay.
into a pile of cardboard boxes.
Nice. Don't do this. Sorry, keep going.
And then another guy, Merlin, who is from Switzerland as an mm-hmm. exchange student, followed him by snowboarding off this roof into the already crushed cardboard boxes.
Oh, no.
So you have, yeah, that.
Or, okay.
Like I mentioned earlier,
yeah.
longboarding naked
yeah.
on
wow.
fire with
wow.
ski gear or skis
yeah,
on.
Yeah, also don't do that.
Mm-hmm. Unless you want to come join the crew.
Yeah.
But it doesn't have to be crazy. It can
against.
Be it can be creative.
Yeah.
It can
totally.
Be fun. Yeah.
Yeah, you heard it here first. So what roles did you guys just fill?
We just filled 2 first year representatives and 2 exchange student reps. And then also retroactively I did my stunt
okay.
for the present because mm-hmm. I was away.
Gotcha.
As well as Talia did her social media stunt.
Nice. Okay. So social media, president, couple first year reps. What other roles have already been filled?
We have a local trip coordinator
okay.
who runs all the like Whistler, Grouse, Seymour ride days, mm-hmm. as well as smaller events. Like we do a lot of cliff jumping.
Nice.
At Lions Bay, or we'll go to the aquatic center
yeah.
or hit, you know, the trampolines. Or yoga on the beach,
yeah,
all,
nice.
All sorts of just like smaller community building events. Mm-hmm. And then we have a bigger trips coordinator where we have 2 of them working on, you know, our Whistler trip, Revelstoke, Whitewater,
mm-hmm.
and potentially Baker as well this year.
Oh, nice.
Mm-hmm.
That would be cool.
And yeah, then we have a sponsorship coordinator who we touched on that,
yeah.
you know, running all the sponsorships. And then we have 2 sustainability and accessibility
nice.
Reps who... Yeah, just focus on making sure our club is being open and inclusive to everyone. And recently the main progression there has been opening up a free gear rental program.
Yeah, that's awesome.
For all members, which is amazing.
Totally. Yeah, I remember talking to Sky a little bit about mm-hmm. that program. It seems pretty sweet. How's it going? Do you guys, you're getting your fleet all ready for the season?
Yeah, it's going amazing.
Nice. Have you guys procured more skis since the end of last season?
Yeah, we actually just got a grant.
Nice.
For, you know, $3,500 from the AMS.
Whoa.
So big shout out to the AMS for...
That's,
so now...
That's why our tuition's increasing. I was wondering. Just kidding. Yeah. It's going to good places.
Mm-hmm. So now we'll be able to fill the gaps in, like,
yeah.
the size ranges. And
that's great.
That's definitely, yeah, big shout out
yeah.
to Sky
yeah.
for spearheading that and... Now, if you're looking to go skiing, it's just one less cost to incur.
Yeah. The rental, for sure, can be a pain in the bum.
Mm-hmm.
I think another thing that's great about ski and board trips, like the ones in Revelstoke, you guys get a big bus, and everyone just gets on the bus, and then you have accommodation when you're there. How did you build those partnerships with the resorts to kind of let you guys all come? And is it
it's
discounted kinda, passes?
Depends. Revelstoke gives us a deal through Red Bull.
Okay.
All the partnerships were sort of grandfathered in
mm-hmm.
Once I entered the club. But now, recently, Frankie is working with another company that kind of runs ski trips.
Okay.
And they have all the partnerships. So
gotcha.
They've got, you know, better deals than we can get. And, yeah, basically the trip covers, you know, your bus, accommodation, lift tickets,
mm-hmm.
partying, and, you know, all that fun stuff. So another big element of the club is we subsidize every trip.
Okay.
So if you want to be a member, you pay $20, mm-hmm. and then all that membership revenue goes into subsidizing the trips.
Gotcha.
So if you're looking for a ski trip, it'd be pretty much impossible to find a cheaper way to do it.
There you go. Mm-hmm. Yeah, sweet. So speaking of events,
mm-hmm.
what have we got coming up on the horizon here?
Our main big ski event will be the opening weekend mm-hmm. condo cram.
Nice.
Where we take over the whole Adara Hotel.
Nice.
150 people. Yeah. And yeah, party all night, ski all day, open to close. And yeah, that'll be, I guess, mid to late November. And then before that, we have our weekly smaller little community events, such as hitting the diving boards at the Aquatic Center. And then we'll be having a Halloween party on the 30th.
Nice. Mm. Okay. Is that the Friday?
That's the Wednesday.
So
the
oh my
day
gosh.
Before Halloween.
Okay.
Well, it's on a weird date this year, yeah. So get yeah. ready for a lot of midweek parties being organized
gosh.
By all
They're
sorts
killing
of clubs.
Me.
Yeah.
Condo Cram is mm-hmm. a big one.
Yeah.
150 people. I bet way more than 150 people want to go.
Mm-hmm.
How do you deal with that?
Well, the ticket itself is just for the accommodation.
Okay.
And then if you're a member and you have your membership card, you get access to all the parties and events.
Okay.
So we either recommend find someone who got a ticket mm-hmm. and convince them and their roommates to let you sleep on their floor
okay.
or something.
Yep.
Or, you know, sort out some other kind of accommodation.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, that's just the capacity of the hotel.
Mm-hmm.
And we already cram it,
yep.
and the hotel is not too stoked with cramming further.
Understandable. Mm-hmm. How does the ticketing process work? How do people procure tickets? I know they just finished, closed up
yeah.
yesterday, but, you know, might be some shifting around.
Yes, yeah, so we just did 3 days of ticket sales,
mm-hmm.
and basically the model is we post the time the day before. We say we're selling tickets
yep.
tomorrow at... Let's use yesterday, for example.
Yep.
You know, we say, selling tickets tomorrow at 6:30 in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
And we will post a location at 6:30 in the morning. So it's a bit of a scavenger hunt and race. So yesterday I was at Wreck Beach.
Okay.
And so there was just a photo of Wreck Beach posted at 6:30. And in like 10 minutes, the stairs were full of lights
That's
just
crazy.
Running down. It's quite, and that was the third day too. So there's a lot of demand. The energy is really fun. Everyone's
wow.
just posted on different parts of the campus, trying to strategically figure it out.
Wow. Too fun. When did you guys start that?
In second year.
Okay.
My second year. So that would be like 3 or 4 years ago.
And was it just because the kind of typical model coming to the club room was boring?
It was... like if we did the old model where we'd set it up as like selling tickets at 10 a.m.,
mm-hmm.
because there's such high demand, people started waiting outside the nest at like 2 in the morning. And you'd have this, and so you'd have to commit like 8 hours in line if you're trying to get a ticket.
Yeah, that's
so,
much.
You know, people don't have time for that.
Yeah.
And it's hard to figure out a fair way. But this at least kind of leaves it up to chance.
Yeah.
And we do different times. So if you're busy with school, hopefully one time works for you.
Yeah. It's actually not a bad shout.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know who came up with it in the first place?
Not sure.
Yeah.
Somewhat not exact.
Good idea. Do any of your other events, do you get tickets like this for everything this way?
All the ski trips.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So for Revelstoke, Whitewater, and Baker will be the same.
You get the real keeners.
Yeah, a little more demand for Condo Cram.
Right. Okay.
And then the next trips attract more of, like, the core skiers.
Mm-hmm. Makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
How do you think you're going to balance skiing with the club versus kind of doing your own skiing this season?
Well, this season I actually won't be skiing at all. I blew my knee.
Yeah.
Just got surgery on that.
Yes, that's why I'm skiing with the club.
I'll just be in the back end. Yeah, potentially we'll go on a trip mm-hmm. just for the culture, but I won't be able to be skiing this year, unfortunately.
What happened?
Last February at a slopestyle event in Austria, went a little big
okay.
on a trick and just blew it up.
I'm sorry.
It's all good.
On the mend.
On the mend, yeah.
Go to the pool lots.
Yeah, soon, yeah. Soon.
Well, yeah, I hope you rest up this season, and I'm sure you'll bring a lot to the club.
Yeah, I got more time for club development.
Yeah, there
now,
you go.
So there's the silver
what do
lining.
What do you got in mind for the club this year?
Whole lot of just events. Mm-hmm. The first one coming up, oh, I guess I didn't mention this, we also do a rail jam.
Awesome.
In
yeah.
November, first week of November. And I'm working on developing that a bit more, trying to secure funding to create a really solid, like more professional rail jam event for all of lower mainland BC to come out to. Mm-hmm. And then hopefully that can turn into something larger in the Canadian scene, like it's been done in Europe.
Yeah.
And then just more community building events throughout the year, such as like the movie festival we're going to do or movie contest.
Cool.
And yeah, just trying to pump out lots of social events, lots of, you know, smaller scale ways that skiers, boarders, mountain people can get to know each other and really foster that community, because it's a big campus, mm-hmm. and hard to kind of find your people. So hopefully we can be that spot for everyone to hold on to.
Yeah, that's sweet. Yeah. Well, congrats on your position.
Thank you very much.
They're very lucky to have you.
Appreciate it.
Is there anyone or anything you want to shout out before we close up here?
Shout out all the rest of the exec team.
Nice.
Yeah, it's a group effort. Everyone's always hopping all around, pulling each other's weight. So yeah, it's definitely not a one-man show by any means. So
that's great. Okay, well, best of luck. And yeah, thank you so much for your time. This has been Outdoor Pursuits. Thanks everyone for listening.
Asking you out, asking you out. As a station, we believe in playing content with artistic and cultural merit, and sometimes that category includes material which can be construed as offensive. For those who have children nearby or are sensitive to provocative material, the following broadcast may have strong language, themes, or be otherwise objectionable. Please consider tuning out and revisiting CITR after this program.